Today on the show, the high stakes battle begins in the U.S. Senate.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. It's Wednesday. We're live. There's a lot going on in the world. We're going to cover it today. And phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. One of them has to do with one of our former colleagues, Tulsi Gabbard. We'll get to that here shortly. As well as the continual work of the ACLJ, as you know. ACLJ around the world. You're going to hear a little bit from CeCe Heil a little bit later in a special video presentation. And then back half of the show, we're going to hear from Jeff Balaban from ACLJ Jerusalem. So it's going to be a packed show, as we know that the war in Iran still going on and still going strong, if you will. But at the same time, I mean, if you were flipping on the news this morning, you may have been cut through two or three different Senate hearings. What's going on in the House? J.D. Vance is speaking in Michigan right now. There's a lot happening. They got three screens up on there. We're not going to do that to you today. We're going to actually break it all down so you understand what is happening. And Will, should we kick it off about our friend, former colleague here on the Seculo broadcast, Tulsi Gabbard?
That's right. So we are seeing the annual threat assessment hearing that's happening in the Senate Intelligence Committee. And that is a annual briefing that leaders of the intelligence community give to Congress, to the Senate specifically. And it's comprised of Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard, the CIA Director John Ratcliffe, the FBI Director Kash Patel, Commander of U.S. Cyber Command William Hartman, and the Director of the DIA Defense Intelligence Agency James Adams. And they do this periodic annual review as the Senate looks forward to funding or their oversight role. And it just comes at a very pertinent time because of the conflict with Iran. We'll be able to play some of this, but you are seeing senators asking questions, trying to get gotcha moments. But these are very serious individuals. This is a less theatrics type hearing than you'd normally see, mainly because they are very serious questions about very serious issues, threats to the homeland, the way that our intelligence community is briefing the president, things of that nature. But you still see Democrats trying to get gotcha questions in, like things about climate change, why there's no climate change assessment in this intelligence assessment like there used to be, things of that nature that are definitely politically motivated,
sure,
mixed in with the other serious commentary. We at the same time.
Yeah, I'd say. So yeah. Again, depending on when you looked up, maybe you looked at the screen, you may have thought you were watching, like, is this a different hearing? Is this the same hearing? I actually had to ask a question. It's like, there's two different things, right? Because the way the news has been cutting back and forth between that and then Mark Wayne Mullen, who is currently in his confirmation hearings.
That's right. So he has begun his confirmation hearings before the Senate committee.
If you don't know, he's the one who's been picked as the new head of Department of Homeland Security.
That's right, to replace Kristi Noem. And we have some information on that as well that we'll be talking about. And if you want to talk about any of these issues, including the Senate voting yesterday afternoon after our show to begin that extended debate on the SAVE Act, call us, 1-800-684-3110. There's a lot to dissect here, whether it be the annual threat assessment hearing, the DHS confirmation hearing, or the SAVE Act debate, which has now been open and expected to go for quite some time. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110.
That's right. I do want to hear from you today. Also, we're halfway through this week and nearly halfway through this month. That's right. Which means we're halfway through our Double Your Impact Drive. I want you today to consider supporting the work of the ACLJ, whether that is financially or just in any way you can. But going to ACLJ.org, you can sign up for the email list. You can do a lot of different ways that are free. You can subscribe on YouTube. But of course, if you donate today, your donation is doubled right now because there's another ACLJ member or champion ready to unlock their donation as soon as you make yours. By supporting the ACLJ, you are unequivocally saying you defend religious liberty. You want to defend the unborn, support Israel, support Christians that are persecuted around the world. That's what it means to become an ACLJ supporter, whether that's a one-time donation or you're an ACLJ champion, someone that gives on a monthly basis, someone that decides, I can give automatically. Of course, you can cancel anytime. Your first donation will be doubled if you make it today and become a champion. Scan the QR code you see on the screen or go to ACLJ.org. This is your opportunity to double your impact today.
Right now, your most sacred rights are under attack. Your right to free speech, your right to worship, your right to educate your children the way you choose. If successful, these attacks will have a destructive impact on the future of our republic. We're fighting in courtrooms across the country to have a lasting impact, defending and upholding our values that this nation was founded on. From protecting the rights of kids to pray and share their faith.
The best thing you can do is take a stand. There's nothing too small. A kid who wants to start a Bible club is how the ACLJ got its first case to the U.S. Supreme Court. And today, we would take that case as long as we needed to.
Every victory makes a major impact. And it's only possible because of the support of ACLJ members and champions. This is your opportunity to double your impact to defend freedom. For you, your children, and generations to come. Go to aclj.org/impact and have your tax-deductible donation doubled today.
We've witnessed monumental legal victories from defending the 14th Amendment and protecting our sacred American right to vote, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and standing up for the religious liberty of our kids and seniors. But even with the many historic wins we've achieved, the battle is far from over. The attacks on our constitutionally protected rights persist. Countless unborn babies remain in jeopardy, and across the globe, innocent Christians are being targeted and killed across this country and around the world. This fight isn't just the ACLJ's, it's all of ours. It belongs to every American who wants to preserve the values and beliefs on which this nation was founded. None of the victories we've won would have been possible without the unwavering support of ACLJ members and ACLJ champions. It's been an honor to fight for you all these years. Join us in fighting for freedom. Have your donation doubled at aclj.org/freedom.
Welcome back to Secular. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. I'd love to hear from you. Got some lines open, I'll be honest. Great time to call in. You're in the chat right now. Let me know where you're watching from. I love to see that. Also, if you're on YouTube or on Rumble, I get to kind of see worldwide where all of you are coming in from. Of course, a lot of you watching on aclj.org or listening on the radio, we appreciate that as well. But of course, if you do listen just to the audio version, know there's a full video television style broadcast of this. It's every day live from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern time. You can find that again at aclj.org, YouTube, Rumble, however you get your podcast, really. We are there. So we appreciate everyone who tunes in. We are going to reset a little bit because, of course, there's two things kind of happening at the same time. That is a confirmation hearing of Mark Wayne Mullen to be the head of the Department of Homeland Security, as well as Tulsi Gabbard is currently briefing the Senate on sort of threats to the United States in general. I do think we should hear from Mark Wayne Mullen, who, again, has been testifying now for a few hours, I believe, as we were doing this show live. So let's take a listen in on what's going on. By 14.
We have 280,000 DHS employees right now that are on day 30 without pay, and they're still showing up every single day to do their job. That is a dedicated group of people. And we should all be proud of them. We should all be working together, and we should all be trying to fund them. So I pray, seriously, I pray that we can get past this. That once this hearing is over and once we go through this process, I get it. I get some of it's got to be political theater. I understand it. I've had to really pray about my attitude. But I will say, once it's over, I hope we can work together and get them funded. So when I walk in, if I'm fortunate enough to be confirmed, if I walk in as secretary, that these guys are ready to go to work day one.
Of course, talking about the current shutdown of the Department of Homeland Security in terms of the government shutdown and the funding that is going to the DHS. We know a lot of people are feeling that at the airports right now as we see flights have been continually delayed. The lines have been crazy for TSA. A lot of this stuff is still happening. He says he understands that some of it has to be political theater because, I mean, he's no, slouch in terms of a little bit of theater here and there.
That's right. I mean, one of the most memorable moments that probably...
Most people, first time they saw it.
If you only know one thing about Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, it's you know that he challenged the Teamsters president to a fight.
My name is Mullen.
In the middle of the...
And I like to fight.
In the middle of a hearing.
Former MMA fighter.
That's right. He was undefeated, 5-0. But he challenged a union boss to a fight, and right, so that was very viral moment.
Said, you got to break this up. This is not becoming of a U.S. senator.
Right. That's pretty good. Maybe he's right.
That's a pretty good Bernie Sanders.
Solid Bernie Sanders.
Solid Sanders.
I will say, though, is that some of the criticism of Mark Wayne Mullen is that he's a little bit of a hothead, that he kind of shoots from the hip, has this kind of firebrand style, and that's actually how the hearing started. He had made past comments over disagreements with Senator Paul when Senator Paul was attacked by his neighbor and had a portion of his lung removed, yeah, had broken ribs. He said something to the effect of, like, I understand why that would happen.
Yeah, that's not great.
But that is how the chairman of this hearing, Senator Paul, opened his line of questioning, was saying, I understand this, but you've not apologized.
Let's hear it. Let's go. Bite 12. This is Senator Paul speaking with Mark Wayne Mullen. They're kind of back and forth. Here you go.
In the days after the fight, you said, and I quote, sometimes people just need to be punched in the face. Is that still your opinion, that political disputes can sometimes and often only be resolved by violence?
No, I don't always agree with that. I don't believe in political violence. I've made that very clear. But sometimes people do need, theoretically speaking, that's, sir, I get it. It's about character assassination for you. That's the way this game is played. I understand it. And you are making this about you, which is fine, but that doesn't keep me as Secretary of Homeland Security.
It's character assassination when you were the one lauding the assault. Who do you think started that character assassination? I'm just repeating what you have done in character assassination. I'm repeating your support for the assault. So that's somehow something I started.
No, sir. What I'm saying is you're adding a lot to it.
And it doesn't get off with the fireworks early on.
Well, and that, once again, that is from the Republican chairman that they have a personal issue with. And to Senator Paul's credit on this, he even said in other portions, like, we talked before this. You have not come forward and said, hey, I apologize for what I said about you, my colleague. And even in that hearing, he didn't really apologize. Now, that's neither here nor there. They clearly have a personal issue. It is expected that we may see someone like Senator Fetterman, who is also on this committee, vote to advance him. While Senator Paul, because of these personal issues, may not vote to advance him from committee.
Yeah,
it's a very interesting play here. You also saw something where Senator Joni Ernst kind of did a swerve move where she said, I have never been more disappointed in a nomination by this president. And almost like Senator Mullen was almost had this look like, where is this? What? I'm being attacked by my friend. And she said, because I will lose my best friend in the Senate. And so there are people that really support him, like Senator Ernst, who is not this sort of MAGA out there senator, moderate. She's actually retiring from the Senate, but she clearly is very supportive of Senator Mullen. Senator Paul is not. I also think that his whole talk about what is political theater is he's trying to say, like, that is how this political theater works. My managerial side will be completely different. He's also coming at a time while DHS is still defunded, but you're starting to see senators like the Democrat from Michigan, Senator Slotkin, who after that synagogue attack has started to change her tune as well, saying, you know what, we need to figure this out and get DHS funded. So we could see that
soon.
It's
not on the tip of our tongues. It's not something we're talking about every day. You know, with all the different topics we brought up, the DHS defunding has not become a number one story. It is in the mix. You definitely hear about it, but mainly when it comes to flight delays or the TSA issues. We are not thinking about it on a global scale when we are, though not officially at war, we are in the middle of a conflict where the Department of Homeland Security, it would be nice if they were fully operational.
We're in the middle of a conflict with the largest state sponsor of terrorism in the world.
Right.
And unfortunately, it isn't in the front page news that DHS isn't funded because of the bravery of some of the individuals, like in Michigan. Yeah. Unfortunately, the professor was killed at ODU, but the bravery of those ROTC students, two terror MIPD attacks where the damages have been extremely minimized compared to what the goal of the terrorist was. It would be unfortunate if DHS was the front page news, it would be because of a failure because they're defunded. So I don't want it to become front page news. I want them to fund the Department of Homeland Security.
Right.
But the way that our media cycle goes, it's going to take something horrific for that to become something that the media cares about. And it shouldn't be like that. The fact that he is sitting there today in a nomination hearing should make it something everyone's talking about. The fact that he's being nominated to lead an executive branch department that currently is without funding.
Well, then on the other hand, we have Tulsi Gabbard. We got a couple minutes in this segment. We'll discuss that a little bit more at length in the next segment. So what is going on with Tulsi? She is there in the Senate, also talking about the current threats going on to America. So in some ways, having similar issues.
That's right. And because this, the two are sort of tied together, yeah, because it is the global threat assessment hearing that happens in the Senate Intel Committee annually. Yeah. Very great time for this to be happening. And once again, remember when there were senators saying, like Cory Booker, let's shut down the Senate until we get these members of the administration before us. Well, they already had one scheduled. This is an annual hearing that happens to get these leaders in front of them. And it's the Director of National Intelligence, the CIA Director, FBI Director, Cyber Command Commander, the Director of the DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency. And we've got some great sound from Tulsi I want to play when we get back.
We'll drop into what's going on with Tulsi Gabbard when we get back, and you're not going to want to miss that. I do encourage you to give me a call right now. We are taking phone calls the next few segments at 1-800-684-3110. That's right, 1-800-684-3110. If you're not used to calling in, we understand. Lottie Watch Online. You're not used to a show being live where we take live callers, but look, we still do it, and we'll do it old school if you give us a call. 1-800-684-3110 to be on the air today. Again, I appreciate everyone who watches, specifically during these very, very important months where we're able to offer this show and all the work the ACLJ does. Remember, our legal work, all of our clients, none of that happens without you, because we do not get paid from our lawyers. If you're hearing an ad in your local market, we are not getting paid from that local ad. All it is because of you, the supporter of the ACLJ, who donates your time by watching this show, by praying for us, by supporting us, but also, if you can, give financially. And during these specific months, like right now, your Double Your Impact month, we're able to offer essentially what it says. If you give, it is doubled because someone is ready to match your gift. Double Your Impact today. Help defend religious liberty, defend the freedom of speech, all around the planet, and of course, in our country. From the local cities to the leaders of the free world. Be a part of it right now at ACLJ.org. Or scan the QR code you see on your screen. We're going to take calls and comments. We'll hear from Tulsi Gabbard when we get back.
We've witnessed monumental legal victories from defending the 14th Amendment and protecting our sacred American right to vote, the overturning of Roe versus Wade, and standing up for the religious liberty of our kids and seniors. But even with the many historic wins we've achieved, the battle is far from over. The attacks on our constitutionally protected rights persist. Countless unborn babies remain in jeopardy, and across the globe, innocent Christians are being targeted and killed across this country and around the world. This fight isn't just the ACLJ's, it's all of ours. It belongs to every American who wants to preserve the values and beliefs on which this nation was founded. None of the victories we've won would have been possible without the unwavering support of ACLJ members and ACLJ champions. It's been an honor to fight for you all these years. Join us in fighting for freedom. Have your donation doubled at ACLJ.org/freedom.
Right now, your most sacred rights are under attack. Your right to free speech, your right to worship, your right to educate your children the way you choose. If successful, these attacks will have a destructive impact on the future of our republic. We're fighting in courtrooms across the country to have a lasting impact, defending and upholding our values that this nation was founded on. From protecting the rights of kids to pray and share their faith,
the best thing you can do is take a stand. There's nothing too small. A kid who wants to start a Bible club is how the ACLJ got its first case to the U.S. Supreme Court. And today, we would take that case as long as we needed to.
Every victory makes a major impact, and it's only possible because of the support of ACLJ members and champions. This is your opportunity to double your impact, to defend freedom for you, your children, and generations to come. Go to aclj.org/impact and have your tax-deductible donation doubled today.
Welcome back to Secular. We are going to take your calls coming up, so get on hold at 1-800-684-3110. Covering both the confirmation hearing, Mark Wayne Mullen right now as the new head of the Department of Homeland Security, potentially, if he gets passed, as well as Tulsi Gabbard, who is having this briefing right now. And I think we should hear from her about the current threats that are going on. Again, all of this is tied together. And then just shortly after that, you're actually going to hear our ACLJ team, CC Howell, at work doing a UN intervention specifically about what's happening in Iran. So all of this ties together. We are directly involved as much as we possibly can, and of course you are as well, by just supporting the work and being a part of the ACLJ family. So let's hear from Tulsi Gabbard. Will, you want to set this up a little bit?
That's right. So this is from her opening statement. This is where she is going over as the Director of National Intelligence, which is the role that is kind of the head of all the intelligence agencies. This is kind of the main filter point of the intelligence as it gets relayed to the president, and works with these agencies to kind of alleviate some of the strains from cross-departmental chatter. This is a role that kind of developed after 9/11, when we saw intelligence failures because of the different intelligence agencies not being able to communicate with each other well. So let's hear what she had to say. This is Byte 5 about Operation Epic Fury and where we are now with it.
The IC assesses that Operation Epic Fury is advancing fundamental change in the region that began with Hamas's attack on Israel on October 7th, 2023, and continued with the 12-day war last year, resulting in weakening Iran and its proxies. The IC assesses the regime in Iran appears to be intact but largely degraded due to attacks on its leadership and military capabilities. Its conventional military power projection capabilities have largely been destroyed, leaving limited options. Iran's strategic position has been significantly degraded. The U.S.-led maximum pressure campaign and snapback of European sanctions added additional pressure to an already bleak Iranian economy, resulting in mass protests earlier this year that Tehran suppressed by killing thousands of protesters. Even if the regime remains intact, the IC assesses that internal tensions are likely to increase as Iran's economy worsens.
Of course, this is Tulsi Gabbard's opening statement about what's going on in Iran, of course, giving a whole history of what led to this, including beginning with October 7th of 2023. And, you know, we are approaching multiple years now of this entire, obviously it's been thousands of years in many ways, but multiple years of it actually happening in place. Now we are at the point, though, where you have a DHS that is defunded, that needs to be reopened, and you have someone like Tulsi Gabbard coming in there, like in a pretty calm voice, but really showing the impact of what's happening. And it's great that the U.S. has led this pressure campaign, but also shows you the real consequences that have come because of it and before it.
That's right. And I think we should also talk about this as well before we get to what our attorneys have been doing. But this is Byte 7 from Tulsi Gabbard, where she's talking about other global threat assessments. That throughout this hearing, there's going to be a lot of different things discussed, because it covers not only the threats coming from the Middle East. It talks about the threats from Mexico and the southern border and the cartels. It's a very broad array because it is talking about global threats. Now, this is interesting because this is something that we at the ACLJ have talked about for a long time. And now you're hearing it from the Director of National Intelligence. This is about the threat of other groups like the Muslim Brotherhood that have long been an organization that foments terror, that also is trying to bring down Western values. And now you're hearing it in a global threat assessment, something that you would not normally hear, but for someone like Tulsi Gabbard and this president giving attention where it needs to be given. This is Byte 7.
And organizations associated with the Muslim Brotherhood poses a fundamental threat to freedom and the foundational principles that underpin Western civilization. Islamist groups and individuals use this ideology for recruiting and financial support for terrorist groups and individuals around the world, and to advance their political objectives of establishing an Islamist caliphate which governs based on Sharia. There are increasing examples of this in various European countries, and President Trump's designation of certain Muslim Brotherhood chapters as foreign terrorist organizations is a mechanism to secure Americans against this threat. in response to setbacks to their capabilities of conducting large-scale complex attacks, Islamist terrorist groups have shifted toward focusing on executing information operations to spread propaganda and inspire or enable individuals located in or with access to the West.
Once again, when you hear her even conclude that portion by talking about the information operations and spreading propaganda, it's everywhere right now. The information operations by terrorist organizations, by Iran, by the Muslim Brotherhood, by Hamas, is everywhere. You are consuming it. If you are going on X, if you are going on Facebook, if you're on Instagram, you are consuming propaganda from terrorist organizations that are feeding this into the algorithm and doing a very clever job at it. You are hearing propaganda from these terrorist organizations if you're listening to some podcasters. That is where this is rooted. This is anti-Western ideology. Now, if you're listening to this show, you know how to see through it. We equip you with that every day. We talk about it every day. But not everyone is as up to speed. And that is why it's important that the intelligence community is looking at this as well. But Logan, we also at the ACLJ had our attorney Cece Heil. She gave an oral intervention at the UN, was able to film it here, and was it played before the UN this week. So I want you to take a look at this. This was just yesterday. This is what Cece Heil delivered before the UN by video, but just yesterday.
Thank you, Mr. President. Recently, the world has witnessed a sharp and heartbreaking escalation of Christian persecution in Iran. As nationwide protests erupted at the end of December, the regime has responded with lethal force, killing thousands of civilians and tightening its grip on religious minorities. The recent situation puts an even bigger target on Christians, as the government already views them as a threat to national security. This wave of persecution is not new, but it has reached unprecedented levels and is further proof of Iran's determination to eradicate the Christian presence in the country. The government's crackdown is only the most recent event that has led to Christian persecution. Unfortunately, since the Islamic Revolution, Iran has a history of targeting Christians and arresting them for gathering to worship, sharing their faith with others, or simply possessing Bibles and other Christian literature. Iran's continued practice of targeting, arresting, and killing Christians for their faith is a shameful and direct violation of the most foundational human rights. Iran should immediately release all Christians and other religious minorities detained on charges related to their faith, reopen forcibly closed churches, and stop the killing and targeting of Christians. We ask that this council hold Iran accountable for its failure to abide by its obligation under the Universal Declaration of Human Rights to ensure that all its citizens have the right to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. Thank you.
Logan, when you see this, that we don't stop working, even when there's a global crisis going on, when there's a conflict, we may be on here talking, but our attorneys are at the UN. They're in court. They're everywhere, continually working towards the mission of the ACLJ.
That's right. And speaking of which, you can support the work of the ACLJ right now. And look, we have a second half hour of this broadcast coming up. If you don't get us on your local station, or you want to have a different experience, go to ACLJ.org. Find us on YouTube, Rumble, however you get your podcast. We are there. Plus live, we are there as well on YouTube, on Rumble, on ACLJ.org. Check us out. You should watch it. It's a great way to engage, be a part of the chat. It's always a lot more fun that way. Full interactive experience. But I'm encourage you today, as we're about to head into the second half hour, and there's only about a minute break, so we just enough for us to take a sip of water and continue on. Support the work of the ACLJ during this special month. We are over halfway done with the Double Your Impact Drive. Scan the QR code you see on the screen, or simply go to ACLJ.org. Any donation today will be doubled. We'll be right back, less than a minute, on Seculo.
Right now, your most sacred rights are under attack. Your right to free speech, your right to worship, your right to educate your children the way you choose. We're fighting in courtrooms across the country to have a lasting impact.
And it's only possible because of the support of ACLJ members and champions. This is your opportunity to double your impact, to defend freedom. Go to aclj.org/impact and have your tax-deductible donation doubled today.
Freedom.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. It's the second half hour of Seculo. It's the more fun half hour, Will. That's what I like to say.
That's what you call it? Why do you call it that?
I think because we're closer to the end.
Oh, okay.
I think I just know we have crossed the point of no return. We have to do a second half at this point.
Right.
So at that point,
you feel
it's
like you could bail on it if you're in the first 30?
Well, the pressure's still on in the first 30.
Ah, gotcha.
This is for the real ones.
Yeah, the ones that make it
that
this far.
Made it this far.
It. Yeah.
Because I've had even friends who'd be like, I listened to the first 20, and then, you know, that's all I can handle for a day. And I get that, okay? We're a lot. People say that.
I saw a meme the other day that said, like, I really want to stay engaged politically, but I also want to enjoy my day.
Yeah.
They're mutually exclusive.
We should be your 1 hour a day. After that, turn off everything else. We're the only place you should be getting information. I think that's good, right? Well, that's not,
yeah,
this feels a little propaganda.
We always tell people that. They only go to one source and one source only.
Well, you know you can trust us. And after that, go spend time with your family. You know, enjoy yourself. Enjoy your Wednesday. Wednesday is one of the few nights we don't have anything in our household. It's like the chill night of the week. Everything else, there's some special activity. But Wednesday nights.
I miss Wednesday night supper.
Yeah.
In the fellowship hall.
I do. It's very similar. I just watched The Masked Singer instead, which is very similar to, you know, it's my Sabbath, really. That's where we just.
Wednesday Sabbath. Okay.
I just take a break and watch The Masked Singer for an hour. And
you're
going
to lose people.
Who's
here,
it going
to
be? I don't care. Like I said, they're the real
it's
ones.
It's the back half hour.
It's the back half hour. Okay, that's why it's here. Because look, we dealt with a half hour of talking about Senate hearings. Okay,
right.
Sometimes you gotta have a little fun
right
here. So there are some calls coming in. We're gonna take those. I do want you to call in at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Be a part of the show today. And look, a lot of you have called in. We will get to your calls today. We also are going to be heading over to hearing from Jeff Balaban, who is, he runs ACLJ Jerusalem, which he goes back and forth between the states and Israel all the time. It's always important for the ACLJ to have a presence there. And I'd say now it's obviously more than ever, because this is a big moment. I have to say, as fun as we're having in this segment and silly, it is a very weird time. It is weird, but also nice to get checked in on by friends who say, how are you doing? I see this is happening. This synagogue was attacked. These schools were attacked. These Jewish kids were attacked in the streets. And I know, you know, my son had his bar mitzvah 6 months ago. This isn't something that is not a part of their culture. It's both refreshing to have people who care about you and check in, and trust me, it means a lot to me. But also, it's terrifying in some ways, because it means they have to do that. They feel that's necessary, that I'm on the front of their minds, which is great. But when it comes to a terrorist activity or anything like that, it's a strange time to be not only a supporter of Israel, but to be a supporter of the Jewish people, particularly, where you have to make decisions on where you go, what you wear, how you're going to explore and proclaim your heritage or your background or your faith. In places like New York City, where I never would have thought would be an issue if I'm wearing a Star of David. You know, I never would have thought that in our major cities in the world, because that was something that thankfully in my lifetime was never truly an issue to this extent. Obviously, there's always been anti-Semitism, but it's reared its ugly head more than ever. And that's why we have the ACLJ Jerusalem. It's why we've had it for so many years, for the good times and during times like this. But I want you to be part of that team today. So stay on hold if you're on hold. I will get to you coming up. We have a segment next with Jeff Balaban to give a big update of what's happening and get his thoughts, and including in New York City. Yesterday had their annual big St. Patrick's Day celebration, and you had a mayor who decided to really perverse the whole theme of St. Patrick's Day and turn it into a push against Israel. And once again, almost weaponizing his position. And as much as I wanted to give Mom Dami his time, I wanted to give him an opportunity to show that he, especially after he met with Trump and all that, to be this sort of leader, because I want the city to thrive, because I love that city. I think it's time we start calling it out even more. We'll be right back on Seculo.
Right now, your most sacred rights are under attack. Your right to free speech, your right to worship, your right to educate your children the way you choose. If successful, these attacks will have a destructive impact on the future of our republic. We're fighting in courtrooms across the country to have a lasting impact, defending and upholding our values that this nation was founded on. From protecting the rights of kids to pray and share their faith,
the best thing you can do is take a stand. There's nothing too small. A kid who wants to start a Bible club is how the ACLJ got its first case to the U.S. Supreme Court. And today, we would take that case as long as we needed to.
Every victory makes a major impact. And it's only possible because of the support of ACLJ members and champions. This is your opportunity to double your impact to defend freedom for you, your children, and generations to come. Go to aclj.org/impact and have your tax-deductible donation doubled today.
We've witnessed monumental legal victories from defending the 14th Amendment and protecting our sacred American right to vote, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and standing up for the religious liberty of our kids and seniors. But even with the many historic wins we've achieved, the battle is far from over. The attacks on our constitutionally protected rights persist. Countless unborn babies remain in jeopardy, and across the globe, innocent Christians are being targeted and killed across this country and around the world. This fight isn't just the ACLJ's, it's all of ours. It belongs to every American who wants to preserve the values and beliefs on which this nation was founded. None of the victories we've won would have been possible without the unwavering support of ACLJ members and ACLJ champions. It's been an honor to fight for you all these years. Join us in fighting for freedom. Have your donation doubled at aclj.org/freedom.
Welcome back to Seculo. We have a couple lines still open, not many though. So Warren, John, two Johns, and a Michael. Stay on hold. We're going to get to you in the next segment, so stay tuned. We'll get to that. We are going to kick it over now. Jeff Balaban runs ACLJ Jerusalem. Jeff, there's been a lot going on, obviously still in the fight against Iran, where Israel and America have joined forces and everything that's gone on with that. At the same time in New York City, you had your St. Patrick's Day events, annual big moments that happened. And at the same time, the mayor, who, again, I have been on this show, and look, I know people have said it in the comments that maybe I'm just too kind. And
yeah, they don't like your kindness.
I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt, if you will. Because, look, I want the city to thrive. You love New York City. I love New York City. It's one of my favorite places in the world. I think we need it in America. We need it to thrive. But you have a St. Patrick's Day speech from your mayor, and he decides to, instead of spending most of the time talking about the rich Irish history and the immigrants that came to New York and the police and the firefighters, of course, some of that is referenced throughout the ceremonies, it decides to become a moment to spread more anti-Semitism, more pro-Palestinian rhetoric, if you will, but not even pro-Palestinian rhetoric. This is the same time where just a week ago, there was, thankfully to the NYPD and some faulty mechanics, and by God's will, there was not a massive terrorist attack at his front door.
The violent jihadis are outside, but unfortunately, we have a rhetorical jihadi inside. I mean, he used the occasion of St. Patrick's Day, which has literally zero to do with the issue, to turn it into another weaponization and incitement moment against Israel and Jews. And let's be very clear, it's not just against Israel, but it's against Jews also, because around the world, including in New York, more than almost anywhere else, the uptick of anti-Semitic violence and hate since October 7th, and since all these talking points pretending that the genocidal attackers are the innocent victims, has been consistent, and he's taken Gracie Mansion. He's basically using it as a platform to incite more and more hatred against Jews in Israel, including those Jews and Israelis who happen to be in New York.
I think we should play what the mayor said. This is a long bite. I don't know. I may cut it off midway through because you'll get the point. But this is when people think of St. Patrick's Day, first thing they think of is let's make it political. That's all I want is a political St. Patrick's Day. But yet, this is exactly what the mayor did here. Let's go ahead and roll bite one, and I may have to cut it off, but let's go.
As we've witnessed a genocide unfold before our eyes, there has been deafening silence from so many. For those who have long cared about universal human rights and the extension of them to Palestinians, silence, however, is nothing new. For Palestinians are so often left to weep alone. Yet former President Robinson has never been silent. Not when she was president, not when she was High Commissioner for Human Rights, and not in the decades since. As she once said, commemoration is a moral act. Her solidarity is many things. Unwavering, sincere, and chief among them, Irish. Irish solidarity is no coincidence. Who can better understand those who weep than those who have been made to weep for so long? The story of the Irish, both in Ireland and in New York City, is at one time a story of oppression, of subjugation, and of discrimination. As we know, it was on Irish soil that the British Empire developed their colonial project. So much of the exploitation later imposed elsewhere across the world was first honed in the plantations of Ireland. And yet when I think of the Irish, I do not think first of oppression. I think of resistance. I think of unity. I think of corned beef and 96-minute Troy Parrott goals and the Pogues' Fairy Tale of New York. Above all, I think of that solidarity.
Once again, I mean, this was not a speech anyone wanted. I mean, you heard, only did you hear whoops and encouragement was when he talked about corned beef and soccer. I mean, this is not what anyone's asking for, but yet he is not going to miss an opportunity to push this ideology, this victimhood mentality that is so prevalent on the left. That is what he had to push on St. Patrick's Day of all days.
Right. Here's a multimillionaire, you know, silver spoon child, you know, self-proclaimed democratic socialist who, you know, constantly cries victimhood, even though he himself is extremely, extremely privileged in all respects in his life from beginning to end. But what's fascinating about the clip that you just played is that his entire narrative inverts reality. So who is it, whose land is it that the Brits were holding as colonials? Well, the same one that the Arabs before them were holding as colonists, the Jews' land. Who is it that's been crying for centuries? The Jews. Who was it? Not the Palestinians, because they literally did not exist. There was no such concept of a Palestinian other than a Jew. That Palestinian meant Jewish until literally the founding of the State of Israel. And then when Israel adopted the name Israel instead of Palestine, which was kind of the slave name that the Romans gave to the Jews, all of a sudden this thing emerges, and they're claiming our history. By the way, they're even you can be cynical enough to point out that who's connected more to corned beef? Honestly, there's no part of his speech.
I'll be honest, that crossed my mind as well.
And yet he's trying to turn it into some sympathy for those who are trying to literally commit genocide against the Jews openly in their documents, by their actions. It's an entire moral, historical inversion. And it's honestly a disgrace that he sits in Gracie Mansion and is using it now as a way to wage war against everything America stands for and against our Jewish citizens.
If you're going to take anything from us, you cannot take the corned beef.
I agree.
I mean, they've been cutting into Katz's the same way for over 150 years. Okay, it's just what it is. But let's talk about this, Jeff. Actually, you know, we can continue this because I was in New York, and you know, I know that you kind of bounce back between New York and Jerusalem and Israel, and you know, that's great. And in New York, again, I would never even think about the fact that I would have to be excited, and this is a weird thing to say, to see people, Jewish people, who were living their lives loudly and openly in areas of the city that, of course, have been predominantly Jewish for my entire life and for your entire life. But I never thought, and my wife and I even brought it up, that like that would be refreshing for us to be around, to go, oh, look, all of these people are so brave. It's a very strange thing in New York City of all places.
You know, growing up in New York before Giuliani became mayor meant constantly being aware that you were subject to violent attack. That's just the way it always was in my childhood. Take a subway, likely that someone's going to pick a fight with you and it can get very violent. And really, Mayor Giuliani changed the city dramatically in all respects, made it safer for everybody, for sure, including but now it's collapsing again. And now it is dangerous again. And you're right. Those of us who live in and around the city, you know, the city and its suburbs, have enclaves of comfort, but go out of those enclaves and it could be dangerous. And I know a lot of people who now refuse to or are afraid to take the subway. Or if they take a subway, they'll try to take off symbols of the fact that they're Jewish. People are nervous to go out to kosher restaurants. I mean, and yet life continues, life goes on. But that's largely because there's been such an exodus from New York, mostly, I would say, to Florida, because that's much more comfortable welcoming place now to live.
Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say, and Jeff, once again, though, where did we see kind of the epicenter of where all of the in-your-face open anti-Semitism? It was on Columbia University's campus. In the wake of October 7th, it started in New York. New York is still a cultural center of America, sometimes even for the worst things. It started there, and it spread throughout academia across this country. And then after academia, it went into other cultural institutions. And that is what we are having to face and fight daily here at the ACLJ. But it started there and has spread, even as the Education Workforce Committee said, like a wildfire across this country.
Well, it has. And like a wildfire, it's really capable of picking up all kinds of fuel. And in this case, there are all kinds of arsonists happy to set that fire in as many places as they can. And one of the things that I'm most proud about in terms of working at the ACLJ is really drawing attention earlier than most anybody to how this is happening on the right as well. Meaning the same way the Democratic Socialist is actually a millionaire who likes his lifestyle very, very well. We have people who claim to be from the right, who claim to be America first, and yet are doing everything to undermine America from without and from within. And so this is a very big moment. And I don't want to be depressing because I know that that's what you guys were talking about before, but this is a moment for Americans to really stand up and reassert the greatness of America. It still is the greatest place, the greatest country ever created by humankind. And we have to take it back.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jeff, for joining us again. Continue to support the work of the ACLJ. Pray for our teams around the country and around the world, whether that's ACLJ Jerusalem or now, sadly, sometimes the work you have to do in places like New York City. Again, places that should be our shining cities of diversity and strength and true tolerance. But that is not what it has become. And I hope we return to that day soon, you know, where, again, you can be sitting outside of a kosher restaurant enjoying a meal and not having to have in the back of your mind, you know, something grave could happen. Phone lines are open for you. We'll take calls on all these different topics at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Seculo.
Today, we've witnessed monumental legal victories from
defending
the
14th Amendment and protecting our sacred American right to vote, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and standing up for the religious liberty of our kids and seniors. But even with the many historic wins we've achieved, the battle is far from over. The attacks on our constitutionally protected rights persist. Countless unborn babies remain in jeopardy, and across the globe, innocent Christians are being targeted and killed across this country and around the world. This fight isn't just the ACLJ's, it's all of ours. It belongs to every American who wants to preserve the values and beliefs on which this nation was founded. None of the victories we've won would have been possible without the unwavering support of ACLJ members and ACLJ champions. It's been an honor to fight for you all these years. Join us in fighting for freedom. Have your donation doubled at aclj.org/freedom.
Right now, your most sacred rights are under attack. Your right to free speech, your right to worship, your right to educate your children the way you choose. If successful, these attacks will have a destructive impact on the future of our republic. We're fighting in courtrooms across the country to have a lasting impact, defending and upholding our values that this nation was founded on. From protecting the rights of kids to pray and share their faith,
the best thing you can do is take a stand. There's nothing too small. A kid who wants to start a Bible club is how the ACLJ got its first case to the U.S. Supreme Court. And today, we would take that case as long as we needed to.
Every victory makes a major impact. And it's only possible because of the support of ACLJ members and champions. This is your opportunity to double your impact to defend freedom. For you, your children, and generations to come. Go to aclj.org/impact and have your tax-deductible donation doubled today.
Welcome back. Secula, we got three lines open. Two lines, actually. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take some of these calls. It's been a hold for a very long time. John in Maryland, line one. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd just like to say I pray for y'all every day for what the work that you do. And but I was raised by my grandparents. I never knew my real father, but my grandfather, who I call my father, he was actually at Pearl Harbor when it was bombed, and he never said much about it other than that we were caught with our pants down. And I praise President Trump for not letting us get caught again like the Democrats would have us do, get caught with our pants down by the Ayatollah.
Yeah, look, John, and thank you for holding, and thank you to your grandfather for obviously all of his time. And look, I look at this in a different way, or a similar way. We live a little comfortably. We have a very short memory. Remember, we're now 25 years since September 11th. You have an entire generation of adults who never experienced any sort of real attack on the homeland in a mass scale. They've read about it in their books. They've read about it in history books. They have been told about it in class. They weren't there. They haven't experienced that kind of thing yet. Prayerfully, they never have to. Because we can all kind of draw a line when that changed our world. For any of us, let's say, over the age of 35, probably, at this point. Hope maybe a little bit younger. But that changed the world. It changed the way that we saw, because we could see that there's true threats that can happen to our own people here. Even when there's foreign war, we're a little blind to the fact that it can find its way creeping into the homeland beyond, a one-off attacker or a car bomb or someone who drives through New Orleans, Louisiana on New Year's Eve. And that feels like that was forgotten. It feels like we have forgotten all of the little things that happen. And it's just not where society, look, I don't want to be dwelling on it. God bless you, and the odds are hopefully in your favor. But it's still not, it does not exist, but our memories are short. And John, I appreciate you calling in and sharing that.
Well, and I think also to John's point, the U.S. policy, military kind of doctrine of strategic deterrence, it came about during the Cold War. That was where essentially we would deter our enemies from attacking us. Specifically, that was the nuclear threat with Russia, how this came about, by knowing that we would overwhelmingly pummel them with our own nuclear weapons. But that strategic deterrence doctrine goes beyond just the nuclear philosophy anymore. And even U.S. Strategic Command has been saying this for many years, that our strategic deterrence goes into every aspect of our defense. And when we say, hey, we can wipe you out if you don't, if you keep threatening us, if you keep building up your nuclear program, and yet for 40 years we do nothing about it, then strategic deterrence is a myth and no one will take you seriously.
All right, let's try to get some more calls. Another John. John in Florida, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I tell you, I hope this is President Trump's next battleground against the Islamic anti-Semitic extremists right here in America when it gets finished with Iran, because we're up to our eyeballs with it right now. Europe's of no help to us. Europe has become a bunch of baggage because we're up to the eyeballs with anti-Semitic Muslim extremists. We're fixing to have the same thing here.
Yeah, John, sorry about that, folks. I'm not sure exactly what was going on there, but we had some connection problems, to say the least. I apologize to anyone who maybe heard that wrong. I'm not sure. Let's move on. John, thanks for calling. Let's go to Michael in Florida. Michael, go ahead.
Gentlemen, I've kind of said this from the beginning, and with regards to, since Mondani's been elected and his statements yesterday, I can only imagine the hypocrisy when we try and do the 25th anniversary of 9/11.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, Michael. And look, like I said, I tried to give the guy the benefit of the doubt. When he's meeting with President Trump and they seemingly had a good meeting, I thought, maybe this guy won't be as bad as they say. Maybe this was political theater a bit to get the votes from the more radical side and the young people of New York City. And look, he did an excellent job. Regardless if you agree or disagree with him, and I assume you disagree with Mamdani, He did an excellent job in marketing, excellent job in social media use. He became a nationally known figure, presumably out of nowhere, took down some big names, and rose to the task. And I thought maybe when he met with President Trump that we would see someone who would come in. I always expect it to be a more liberal person leading New York City. I'm not a fool here. Even when you had Rudy Giuliani, he was a conservative and a Republican, but he probably wasn't as Republican as a lot of people in the South would say.
Right.
You know.
Well, and to that point as well, the fact that he only fixates on one thing,
yeah, it's weird.
On St. Patrick's Day, he goes back to the Palestinian issue. Like, once again, I know that
when it's one of the biggest
people
issues
of Ireland are very engaged, yeah, with the, and very anti-Semitic and very pro-Palestinian. But he's talking at the New York City St. Patrick's Day parade. That is not something that is really Ireland Irish. It's New York American immigrant Irish.
And also dealing with
it's very odd.
One of the biggest threats of what's happening literally on your streets. They'd be different if we weren't a week outside of what was a failed terrorist attack in New York City. That could have been very, very bad. On your front steps, you know, this from this, inspired by this, you're talking about ISIS inspired, you know, Hamas inspired terrorism. But you decided to take this moment. Let's move on, though. There are a few more calls, and we got 2 minutes. I'm going to see if we can get to him. Let's go to Jerry in Tennessee. Jerry, thanks for watching. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Logan. Thanks for taking my call. And Will, man, y'all do a great job. All of the ACLJ does a great job. Thank you for fighting for our rights here in the United States of America and taking on battles across the world, across the globe. But I also represent the chat. And would like to ask Logan to sing a little bit.
You know, Jerry, I appreciate that. And you know what? It shows that people are engaged.
He got me,
Jerry. I appreciate it. Look, I don't even know where that started. That I'll sing for a lot of things, and maybe I'll sing for the Double Your Impact Month. But I do feel like the topic's a little serious for me to now break out into a nice little shanty, Will. But there you go. That's enough for you.
You could have done that for our...
I just did it for them. Was that not enough?
That wasn't a sing. You had an accent. Speaking in an accent is not what we generally consider singing.
The day after St. Patrick's Day, what's a good Irish song?
I don't know.
Danny Boy?
Yeah, I mean, that's the one.
I don't really know the words, though.
I don't either, but I know it is one.
Oh, Danny Boy.
You could do like Tub Thumping.
Okay, I like that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think, I have a feeling they would fall on the other side. But you know what? All right. We sadly blame Jerry. We ran out of time for you. Call me back tomorrow. I'll put you up very first thing. I appreciate everyone who called in, even those who decided to ridicule me. It's okay. You know, that was fun. Good way to end, actually. Put a smile on my face. Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate it. With that being said, we're over halfway done with this week, thankfully. And we are over halfway done with our Double Your Impact Drive. I want you to be a part of it today. We'll tell them, leave that QR code up on the screen for the rest of this show, all 34 seconds of it. Go to ACLJ.org right now. I encourage you to support the work. That's our legal work. That's this media work. That's this show, the team that puts it on, everyone that works here. It's all because of you, the ACLJ supporter. And right now, your donation is doubled. Help defend religious liberty. Help keep this show on the air. All of it at ACLJ.org today. Scan that QR code. Any donation is doubled right now.
Right now, your most sacred rights are under attack. Your right to free speech. Your right to worship. Your right to educate your children the way you choose. We're fighting in courtrooms across the country to have a lasting impact.
And it's only possible because of the support of ACLJ members and champions. This is your opportunity to double your impact to defend freedom. Go to aclj.org/impact and have your tax-deductible donation doubled today.